Hi, Tess.
Hey, man. How's it going?
I'm all right. I'm just about to record a podcast.
Cool. Yeah, go to the intro.
You know, podcast about to start.
Yeah.
It's called Double Triumph.
Double Triumph. This is like a...
I feel like I'm doing an advert.
Yeah, that's it. Like, we're in a rush to get to the premiere of Double Triumph. It's like, oh, no way. We make it there on time. All content as well.
All content.
I'm happy to say.
All content.
So much content. Rolling.
Slick.
We're rolling.
Fucking rolling. Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
Fucking Yoda with a wig on. Hello, you're listening to Double Triumph, the podcast dedicated to Star Wars role-playing in the FFG system for Edge of the Empire and Age of Rebellion in the UK. Your hosts, as usual, Bob Shoy and...
Tiss.
With me, as always, is Garth. We've got an action-packed edition today because we haven't recorded for a couple of weeks. Last week, we bitched and moaned.
No one listens to us, no one adds us on Twitter,
no one does anything, and since then I've had people add me and talk to me in private and public and all sorts, and how have I repaid them? By not recording an episode for 2 weeks. So back with a vengeance. We've even made notes,
research, everything.
First of all, news. Tiss, any Star Wars news?
I don't know, Bob, any Star Wars news?
Oh really, you didn't actually look anything up?
No.
Okay. A couple of things. I know there's probably been stuff within the last 2 weeks, but I can't remember stuff I thought of 2 weeks ago. I need to make better notes. But the second series of Star Wars Rebels started.
Has it?
Very recently.
Oh, okay, sweet.
And the first episode back was like a 45-minute special.
Yeah?
Darth Vader's in it.
Wow.
All sorts going on. Ahsoka's back. I haven't watched it yet.
Oh.
But apparently it's very good.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, I'll watch it and talk about it next time. But, anyway, didn't know. Star Wars Rebels Series 2 side, and apparently it's really good start. And it's all canon, so, you know, if you haven't been watching it, watch it. I didn't really like it at the beginning of Series 1, but by the end, the last few episodes were really good, and I think Series 2 is really going to
kick off.
Up its game. Yeah, you got some of the... If you watch Clone Wars, they brought out some characters from Clone Wars like a few years on, and they're older, and it's cool to see them again, and stuff like that. Also today, did you hear about the Battlefront thing?
No.
The Star Wars game that's coming out later this year, Battlefront, the beta build went up today for the people trying it out.
Yeah.
But instantly, people who were on the beta started leaking shit they weren't supposed to, and there's loads of footage and stuff all over the internet that keeps getting shut down instantly, but I managed to watch a few before they went. So if you look around, I'm sure you can find stuff. It's pretty cool. There's two maps they were playing on there. There's a very large-scale Hoth map and a smaller-scale Tatooine map that they're playing on. And, yeah, there's a lot of footage going around, but it leaked instantly. Apparently, the beta was on, like, Pirate Bay Torrent sites and shit.
Really?
Yeah, really naughty, really bad. And people are already digging through the source code to see if they can find any info about the full game and stuff.
Right, that's what happened.
Apparently they've dug in and found like loads of spaceships that are in the game and guns and stuff. And,
wow.
Yeah.
Ha! That's what happens.
That's what happens.
These days.
Quick note about the comics that came out this week. Princess Leia finished.
Yeah.
I thought it was a pretty good end to a very average series.
I never read it.
And you only read issue one.
Yeah.
Also, Darth Vader issue 7 came out yesterday.
Yeah.
And that is... start of a new storyline. What do you think of that?
Amazing.
Really good.
Yeah, super good.
Brilliant. Get to see Vader doing a little bit of investigation. The stuff he found out at the end of the first story arc. No spoilers. He's following up on that. And it brought back... Oh, I forgot to mention this to you. It brought back another character that was sort of introduced in episode 1 of Vader.
Yeah.
And you're like, whatever happened to that dude? And then he was back in this one.
Who's that?
The big black Wookiee dude.
Oh, the big black Wookiee.
Yeah. Because he sent them both off, didn't he? You saw that Boba Fett and the big black Wookiee dude And then you saw Boba Fett again, but you never saw the Wookiee, and you got to see what he was up to.
Yeah.
And he was with Bosk.
Yeah.
Which was awesome.
Yeah.
And then a couple of bounty hunters you haven't seen before.
Crazy.
Yeah. I really love the comics, obviously, and I love the new characters they introduced. They really fit.
I really like the girl and the droids.
Yeah, Aphra's awesome character. Yeah. And yeah, her two crazy droids are good. So that's news. We recorded a game of EURP, sir.
Yep.
Before we did the show.
I'm going to stick that out.
Shall I just lay that in right now?
Yeah, do
it. Little game of EURP, sir, going to start now. Tis, what's the current score of EURP, sir?
I have no idea.
I think it's 5-3.
Yeah.
Because it was losing at like 5-1, and I was like, shit, you're never going to catch up. And then you got two in a row last time. So currently 5-3, got one round to do today, and this one is all about Han and Leia.
Okay.
Okay. You know the rules as usual. I'm going to say three stories that exist before the. Oh no, I'm going to say three things. One of them is real.
Yeah.
From the old expanded universe, the EU, from before Disney wiped that clean. And today, obviously. It's always me versus Tis. If I can bullshit enough for him to think of the wrong one, or if he can suss out the real one from amongst these. And we've got one of our other Edge of the Empire and Age of Rebellion players with us here today, Rebecca.
Hola.
Okay, so this one's all about Han and Leia. Now, the theme is sort of like how did Han try and make Leia love him after the events of episode 6, right?
Okay.
And I'm going to try and elaborate on these quite a bit, so you've got a bit more to go on. So does he kidnap her and take her to a planet called Dathomir for a week, where he doesn't let her leave the planet? He basically stops her there for a week to prove he can make her love him.
By kidnap, do you mean secret honeymoon?
Yeah. After number 6.
By kidnap.
Don't they love
well,
each other already?
He's trying to prove his love.
Right. Is it a secret honeymoon?
He kidnaps her.
Right, so right. No.
So, or does he try to become a prince himself? He thinks that the reason she's cold to him is because she's royalty and he's not. So he goes off to find a planet which is lacking a monarchical system and tries to set one up to become a prince, so that he's like, hey, you're a princess and I'm a prince now, right?
No, he's the prince of scoundrel.
Right. Or does he go into exile for a while after the events of episode 6? He repays his debts, he rights people he's wronged, and returns when he feels he's worthy enough for her.
Possible.
So he kidnaps her, he tries to become a prince, or he goes to exile till he's worthy.
I think that I don't think he kidnaps her because that's too manic kind
of. He's a scoundrel.
Yeah, but I don't think he would. It's not in his nature. I think he's an arsehole, but I don't think he's like a complete weirdo. And I think Luke would have something to say about that. Maybe, like, where the fuck are you taking my sister, bitch?
I'm taking her on a date. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. See you in a week, bye. But I suppose a week is not like a long time to be kidnapped.
To be kidnapped? I think a day is a long time.
Yeah, but I think if someone, I don't know, it just seems really like crazy, like, I'm so in love with you, I'm going to kidnap you. It's like, whoa, fuck off.
The EU is crazy. Last week, the correct answer was that a moon landed on Chewbacca's head. So.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm definitely going with kidnapping.
Kidnap, prince, exile.
Okay, so I think prince is like a possibility because he's a bit like egotistical and stuff like that, and he's a bit like, oh well, if you're a fucking princess, I'm a fucking prince, kind of like.
Bit like Aladdin, that one.
And he rides a magic carpet called Chewbacca.
I didn't tell you that, but yeah,
I think kidnap.
You think kidnap?
Really?
Yeah. You're not going to touch on the exile.
I think exile because I think he like really changes his tune between like, and then he kind of wants to prove himself, and he's actually kind of like, instead of living in like the grey area that all like scoundrels do, I guess, like in between good and evil, right and wrong, the law and all that kind of shit.
They get on at him about like just wanting to take the money and run.
Yeah. I think if he did that, it would be like a bluff. He's like, oh, fuck you then. And then like leaves and then comes back and it's like, oh, I've done all this stuff and I'm amazing kind of. And then it's like, I've righted all my wrongs sort of thing. And she's like, oh, wow, you're fantastic. I think it's that one.
You got anything to say about anything, Tessie?
I know I'm probably wrong, but...
You just think nothing to say, you just think no, kidnapping. Yeah, you've got it, yeah. Right?
I've like torn these apart.
I'll tell you first of all that the prince one's bullshit.
Yeah.
I genuinely was thinking of Aladdin when I came up with that.
So it's between one of us is right, one of us is wrong. Shit.
The correct one was that he kidnaps her. It's actually a really famous and well loved EU book. Called The Courtship of Princess Leia.
Oh, okay.
Courtship? Fucking kidnapping? I'd be like,
I bet it's like a friendly kidnapping.
Yeah, I've never read it. So again, I've never read it. Like, if I've got it.
Wow,
wrong,
just what I've always wanted, a friendly kidnapping.
It's like gypsies.
Don't you think the Exile one's actually a better story though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of a cool story.
But I know the EU and EU doesn't have any good stories.
So
you haven't done yourself, Bob.
It's like never in a woman's like wildest dreams. It's like, oh, I can't wait to get married. I can't wait to have kids. I can't wait to be kidnapped. Like, no, it doesn't enter their like brain.
Well, he doesn't know. He's a scoundrel. He might think women like that.
Oh my god.
Anyway, that's the end of EU or PU, sir.
5-4.
I can't believe you're actually catching up. I've got up my game.
Yeah.
I have too much faith in Han. I have too much faith in the EU.
I have no faith in the EU.
I'm gonna go.
All right. Thanks for playing, Rebecca. Bye.
Bye.
Bam, that was a EU or PU, sir.
Rolling. Slick. We're rolling.
Fucking rolling. Now, Tis, we had people contact us on Twitter. In particular, one dude who I'll give a shout out. He was talking to me publicly on the wall. Guy called Steve Theobald. So thanks for talking to us, and he hasn't actually started playing the game himself yet, but has been listening to podcasts for tips and stuff like that, especially like in the Chance Cube segment and the character creation segment.
Yep.
Now last week I recorded, well not last week, but last time I recorded, I did the character creation segment for my character.
Yeah.
But we lost that.
Yeah.
So I'll record that later in the episode and put it in this one. But he said about your diplomacy dice rules.
Yeah.
Which we talked about over a month ago.
Yes.
Now, what happened was you thought of these rules for Beef's character to do his diplomat stuff.
Yeah.
But you found it easily exploitable.
Yeah.
And he sort of trounced all over it. And that was pretty much where we ended you talking about it. You were like, yeah, I need to sort of change it a little bit. It was really easily exploitable. But now, on this week's edition of Chance Cubes, can I lay the little sting now?
I just happen to have a chance cube here.
Yeah.
Tell us about your diplomacy dice rules a bit.
So the diplomacy dice rules are basically, it's kind of battling, what would it be? Like attributes against attributes.
Yeah.
And it's the first to five. It's the best of five, sorry. The diplomacy is the best of five.
So you pick a skill,
you pick,
which is relevant to the conversation you're having.
Yeah, and then you roll that against the other person's one, kind of like Top Trumps. And then the...
So the way you do it is like, say I'm going to roll for a knowledge, I'm going to try and outsmart him.
Yeah.
In the way the conversation's going, I'll roll my knowledge.
Yeah.
Do you then make him roll his knowledge?
His knowledge,
and see, it's like a top trump. So it's not like you're rolling and the difficulty is based on his. You just roll with no difficulty.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
And then he rolls his. And it's the same as when you roll for initiative.
Yeah.
It's like success and then advice. And it's the first of 5 points.
Yeah.
And you've done that a couple of times.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
How you find that?
Good.
I personally really like the mechanic.
Yeah?
Yeah. And you did a similar thing with a group conversation, like a business deal?
That's it. The business one is different. Like you just described, actually. It's more instead of them rolling their thing, their attribute is the difficulty of your roll.
Mm-hmm.
So you're rolling both combined in one roll rather than rolling him rolling loads of times.
So that's like an opposed check.
Yeah.
But the way you did that, it was a group business deal. Like, we were all with the guy and we're trying to, like, our barter. Whole group is trying to barter with him.
That's it. Yeah.
So we went, it was like a round robin. And it's like the best of how many rounds? Because it's like, I would roll, then Claire would roll, then Beef would roll, then Rebecca would roll.
I think it was that what that one was the first to five.
It was first to five, yeah. And we would keep going around in that order. Until, and we'd each have to pick different skills things,
yeah.
to oppose him to whether we got the better deal with him or not.
Yeah.
So that was similar, but also really... I really like both of them. They were like existing, like opposed checks already exist and we use them, but it's a way to use opposed checks in a situation to make just like a discussion more interesting.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
It's almost making a conversation like a battle.
That's it, yeah, yeah. It is. It's like a war of words.
Yeah, because the diplomacy elements could be like thought of as like, oh, that's quite a dull part of the story. But if you make it exciting, like a war of wits.
Yeah. Because it
makes it more dramatic.
Well, because Beef's a diplomat, I didn't want to make it so that his basically moment in the sun was over in one dice roll.
Mm.
It was just, you know, I wanted to make it a mechanic in itself.
Yeah.
So that he's got something to build on.
And the way you do it as well, whenever we land on a new planet and we want to, you know, we come in peace, we want your help with the rebellion, we want to set up a base here, we send Beef up front.
Yeah.
He meets with their diplomat.
That's it, yeah.
And he does this mechanic on every planet we land on.
Yeah.
And if we succeed, you get one chance, and if we succeed the first time we land on that planet, we can set up a better base there, and every time we land on that planet, we get certain rewards.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
So one of ours, we can always restock grenades for free when we land on the first planet that he succeeded on.
That's it, yeah, yeah.
And there was another one.
The next one is every time your ship lands there, for every hour you're on the planet, your ship recovers 2 hull trauma.
Yeah.
So
they're really good things to... Yeah. Like, it's worth saying, we're going to stop by this planet because we can get some fucking grenades and stuff.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
And it makes it, like, makes it feel like we've got more bases and stuff. Talking of all this diplomacy and bases and stuff, are we coming back to that in one of our features later in the show?
Okay.
Because that's something I'm going to talk about regarding that. So is there anything else you wanted to add about those systems?
No, I think that's pretty much covered it. Obviously, if you fail the diplomacy, that means the failure is always pretty much the same unless it's got a story element to it, which is every time you're on that planet, you suffer 2 strain, everyone in the group,
mm-hmm.
as if you'd failed your obligation or something.
Yeah, because we're like not wanted there, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's great. Like, what I like about it, really simple rules and a simple, just like, this is an opposed check. But, like you say, top trumps.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, 1st to 5, and you've, fucking, if it's going well, you know, you get cocky.
Yeah, yeah.
You might try and, it depends what skill, how the conversation's going as well, picking the right skill for that conversation. And if you try and lie and you fail that one, that's going to be bad for the ones that follow it. You're going to have setbacks. If you try and lie and then the next one you try and negotiate, you're going to have a setback on the negotiation round because he just caught you trying to fucking lie.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Really good.
Same for coercion as well.
Now, Tis, this could have been talked about in news, but did you know there's a new Star Wars film coming out?
I didn't.
Episode 7.
I wasn't sure. Wow, really?
Yeah.
That's been a long time coming.
That isn't what I was going to talk about. What I was going to talk about is Force of Destiny is out soon.
We need a GM for that.
I don't think we're going to be able to play this for a long while.
Yeah.
Unless one of us fancies taking a break from our campaigns and dipping into Force and Destiny, this feels a long way down the pike. But I know some people listening will be interested in playing Force and Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's out very soon. The beginner game's already out.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah, beginner game is out.
Should we just buy that just to play one week?
Just to try it out?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you a little something about Force and Destiny.
Okay.
This is what I did a little bit of research today, and this is what I found out about the game, if people are interested. We've had Edge of the Empire.
Yeah.
Which is...
Well, smugglers.
Scum,
yeah.
Villains.
That's it, Outer Rim kind of stuff.
Yeah. And then we've got Age of Rebellion.
Yeah.
Which is
Rebellion. In the age of...
And then this is the third part. And you can mix and match. You can add specializations from these games. They can all work together.
Yeah.
They have their complete own themes and stories. And if you want to mix them together, you can. Because they all work together and stuff. I mean, the only skill that Age of Rebellion added was Warfare.
Yeah.
And you can, you know, you could set up a character in Age of Rebellion and use races that are from Edge of the Empire. And, you know, you could be a pilot, an ace pilot from in your Age of Rebellion campaign, but by a specialization tree, which is related to like a thief from Edge of the Empire.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, I used to be a thief, so I've got skills in thievery as well. You know, you can mix and match these things. Right? You've got all these sets available, but this is what I found out about Force of Destiny. I'm sure there's more information out there right now, but I can't find it.
Okay.
But this is what I gathered in terms of like races and careers and stuff. So Force of Destiny, as with the other ones, it starts with 8 playable races.
Right.
Do you want to take a guess at any of them? It's going to be in Force of Destiny.
Human.
Yeah, of course.
Ephorian.
Not that I could tell. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of the 8, and 2, I think. So I've got like 7 out of 8.
Okay.
That I know of that.
Grand?
No, it's not. A lot of them are like new. Like how when we played Age of Rebellion, it wasn't the ones from Edge of the Empire.
Oh, right, okay. Tordarian?
No. If we could do this all night.
Yeah.
Think of the Jedi Council, because it's them sort of
characters. What's Yoda?
Yoda is his own thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that is... Well, I don't know with the new canon. This is... Oh, they're getting off topic. Stay on target.
Stay on target.
But this really bugs me. This is probably my most irritating thing about Episode 1, and that's saying something.
Yeah.
Now, it's always said in the older year that Yoda is the only one of his species that's around.
Right.
And his species doesn't even have a name, because they haven't found any others.
Right.
And the species is always just referred to as Yoda's species.
Right.
But if you look in the background of Episode 1, there is another fucking Yoda that's a girl.
Where?
In the background of the council in Episode 1.
Oh, really?
There's a fucking Yoda with a wig on.
Really?
There's a girl Yoda. And it really pisses me off. I wish when Lucas went back and edited all them times, he just removed her. Because she ruins the mystique of Yoda for me. Yoda girl, Episode 1. I'm typing it in so you can see it. And now you've seen it, you'll see it every time you watch Episode 1.
Ha! That's her.
Yeah.
She's on the council.
That's her in the background on the scene. She's sitting around with the other Jedis on the council in Episode 1.
That's lame, man.
It fucking ruins Yoda to me. So okay.
Yoda's not the only one.
Well, I'd like to still think of him as
could being be a little anyone. Yoda.
Right, okay, so these are the races I know that are included. Zabrak. So, like Darth Maul.
Yeah.
Togruta. Which is, you know, like Ahsoka from Clone Wars.
Right, okay.
So you've got Zabrak, Togruta, Mirialan, which are, they're like the green, they look like humans, but they've got like green skin. They normally have like facial markings, like tattoos.
Right, okay.
Look like that.
Right, okay,
I played as one on Old Republic.
Right.
I was with Frankenstein.
Really?
Yeah, I actually got that name on the surface.
Wow.
I was there on the first week. Keldor. Is a race which is like Plo Koon, which is this dude, and they've got the mask on.
Yeah.
You'd be them. They're the only one I know for sure. Now, I'm pretty sure, just from looking at the artwork, that Nautilin are playable. So that's like Kit Fisto on the council, you know, squid head guy.
Yeah.
Green tentacle head guy.
I like him.
And Twi'leks, I'm pretty sure, are in it because they're always in it. Like, humans and Twi'leks are in every game.
Yeah, yeah.
No droids.
No.
Because droids aren't force sensitive.
Exactly.
So they've been in the other two. And I don't know who the 8th race is. So this is what I'm pretty sure it's Zabrak, Togruta, Mirialan, Keldor, Nautilin, Twi'lek, Human, and one other, but I'm not sure. Possibly like the same race as like Ki-Adi-Mundi or something like that, like the big tall head.
Yeah,
council,
yeah.
Someone like that. But I'm not sure. 8th. Anyway, careers. Now these are weird. They're all Jedi. It's not like Jedi is a career because it's Force and Destiny. So there's different types of Jedi you can be.
Okay.
So I'll tell them and you can tell me your thoughts. There's two types of fighting style Jedi.
Yeah.
Right? So you've got warriors.
Yeah.
Which are your attack sort of style.
Yeah.
Anything to that? Would you be interested in that?
No.
No. Guardians, which are more like defensive.
Okay.
You've got consulars, who are like the diplomatic Jedis.
Right.
You've got mystics.
Yeah.
And what it says about them is they delve deeply into the mysteries of the Force, learning a wide array of Force powers.
Boom.
They sound cool, right?
Boom. Mystics. That is indeed.
Seekers, they're like nomadic. They just explore and roam and go where they're needed.
Okay.
Kind of cool. I don't think I'd play it, but it's kind of a cool character. And the last one is Sentinels. And they're like the hoods up, hide in darkness, stealth, and they travel around enforcing justice.
Okay, Mystic.
So they're your six Mystic careers, and you would definitely go for Mystic.
100%. I had it in the back of my head straight away. Whatever one of those types is like more into meditation and self-force exploration.
Yeah, Mystic sounds really cool.
Yeah.
But
Yoda is definitely a Mystic.
Mm-hmm. Mystic seems more like Force powers to me. They want to know like all the Force powers. Sentinel, kind of cool, like more nomadic, hiding and hoods up. And
that's like Anakin and Obi-Wan, really.
I don't know, because one of the specializations for warrior is what I would say Anakin was. That's attack. But one of the specializations for that is Starfighter Ace.
There you go.
Oh, that's Anakin, right? Yeah, he's an attacking warrior and he's a Starfighter Ace. That's Anakin. I've only got a couple of specializations, so that's an example. Because you get three specializations for each career, right? You choose between. So I've got a couple of examples. So for warrior, you can be a Starfighter Ace. For a mystic, you could be an advisor. For a seeker, you could be a pathfinder.
Mm-hmm.
For a sentinel, you could be a shadow.
Okay.
I haven't got any examples for consular or guardian. Guardian, I would be quite interested in. They're like not attack but defense. They're like the defensive type. But now here's another one. So that's a few examples of specializations. Now each career is going to have one specialization that focuses on lightsabers.
Okay.
Because there are six forms of lightsaber combat.
Wow.
And each career has a specialization in one of those forms.
Okay. What are they?
I don't know. That's all I know. It says there's six forms of saber combat, and each career has a specialization which focuses on one of those. So no matter which career you choose, if you want to do specialization in lightsaber, there is a way you can do that.
Wow.
And they're all different types of combat.
I can't wait to read this.
So it sounds very interesting.
And when's the rule book out?
This month, I think. End of the month.
Sweet.
And it'll be released...
Payday.
It'll be released right alongside another adventure book. You know, you get I'm running Beyond the Rim right now.
Yeah.
And there's Onslaught on Arda 1 for
AOR.
And then this is going to release right alongside an adventure book. It's for people who are just getting into it and... I'm not sure about running their own adventures after they're the beginner. You can go right out and buy a story called Chronicles of the Gatekeeper
for
Force and Destiny, and that's going to come out right along, I think literally on the same day,
yeah,
or like the week after. It's right alongside it.
Cool.
And that's the information I've got for Force and Destiny. What do you think of the sound of that?
Sounds amazing.
Sounds really good, right?
Yeah.
I love how it's like whatever you're playing as a Jedi. But it's like really making you think about the different types of Jedi.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is hard to think about.
I wonder what you'd fight, though.
I don't know.
When's it set, do you know?
I think they're all set at the same time, which makes it weird to me, because I'm like, are they all in hiding? What?
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know when it's set.
Hmm.
Pretty cool, though.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. I look forward to hearing more information about it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So that's why I know about Force and Destiny.
Perfect.
Oh, I didn't mention.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about the comics? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We do.
Fair enough.
We talked about Vader and Leia.
Yeah.
Didn't mention the next week.
Lando.
Lando issue 1.
Hell yeah.
Looking forward to that?
Can't wait.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really good.
It's going to be the best comic book series ever. Not just Star Wars.
Really?
Ever. Yeah, I can't wait.
Think it's going to be better than Vader?
Yeah.
I can't believe Vader's as good as it is. I was like doubting it when it first came out. When they announced it, I was like, a Vader series, really?
I was just happy to have a Star Wars series in comic print. I'm glad I got into comics before Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because it's definitely helped me adapt to comics first.
Now here's a new feature I thought.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. So we just talked about reaction. We just talked about the Force and Destiny book.
Yeah.
And they're releasing books all the time.
Yeah.
Adventure books, source books, planet books, space books, all them sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought of, even if we don't have those books, because we don't have any of them.
Yeah.
If I found out about them and researched the books, I could say what the contents of the book is. Because I, as someone who looks at trying to buy them, they don't really advertise everything that's in these books.
Yeah, yeah.
So if I can give you an idea of what's in the books, as a listener, you can think, oh, I want that book. That sounds good to me.
Yeah.
So every week, I will spotlight one of these books and tell you if I think it's worth getting or not.
Okay, cool.
And when it's an AOR book, I can tell you and you can genuinely think, oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
That's why I'm starting with an AOR one this week. And so this is my new feature. It's called Sourcebook Spotlight.
Sourcebook Spotlight. In the process of that you were just reading that, I just thought of another feature.
Go on.
Well, not a feature, really. Imagine if Double Triumph wrote an adventure book.
Mm.
Based on our thing, an online ebook that people could download.
We could put it on Kickstarter, mate.
Yeah. Very amazing. Let's try it.
I thought about doing that, like, as a way to...
It raised £100.
If people listen to the podcast, and, you know, everything we do is out of our own pocket.
Yeah.
I bought equipment and everything, the sound quality improved, because I bought, you know, an interface, and it takes time. So I thought of doing something like that. Mm. Maybe just a small Kickstarter to earn a little bit of money to put into the podcast.
Mm.
So, you know, donate £1 and... we could, anything we get, we can put into a pot and then make the podcast better for people listening.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not even like we're getting anything out of it.
Mm.
It's funding stuff we're paying for out of our own pocket.
Mm.
Which I don't mind doing. If you just want to listen for free, do it. I listen to podcasts for free all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
But I've donated to podcasts as well. If I listen to podcasts a lot, I've donated.
Yeah, yeah.
So do what you want. But Sourcebook Spotlight. Now, coming soon... there's one called Strongholds of Resistance for AOR, which I'm not going to talk about today. I'm just talking about ones that are coming soon. And that is all... that's like a big space book. It's a big £30 book.
Okay.
And that is all about rebel bases. It's all about the Alliance worlds, rebel bases, has three new species, vehicles, gear, NPCs, modular encounters. It's not one of them source books that's related to one specific career.
Yeah,
it's all about just like Alliance worlds in general and different strongholds and bases like Echo Base on Hoth from Empire, stuff like that.
Mm.
That you can incorporate into your game.
Right, okay.
That looked pretty good, but I don't know much information about that yet. Also, a little while back, I think it's called Lords of Nauhata or something like that. Something of Nauhata is a similar book for Edge of the Empire, but in Hoth space.
Okay.
That I was thinking of getting that because I was thinking of taking our story back to Hoth space eventually.
Cool.
But what I'm going to talk about today is one that has just come out for Age of Rebellion.
Okay.
Called Desperate Allies.
Ooh.
Which is the diplomacy sourcebook.
Cool.
Right. So I'm going to tell you a couple of things. Tell me what you think about this. Now, it adds three new races.
Right.
Nemoidian.
Yeah.
They're like the Japanese businessman stereotypes from the prequel trilogy.
Okay, yeah. Right. Trade ship.
Yeah.
They so look hilarious.
Nemoidians, it adds Kamasi, who I've never seen in film. They're like big space chickens.
Right, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Space duck is what I've written here as my description.
Reminds me of the lawyer from Futurama. Now I'm just a humble
hyper chicken. And Gossam is the other one.
Gossam.
Which
is a big possum.
They're like reptilian little reptile creatures with hooves. That is actually the picture from the source book. There you go. That's all three races.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
Cool. They look very boring.
Yeah. I mean,
the duck dude looks pretty cool.
I don't know their skills.
Yeah. I definitely don't want to be the Nemoidians.
But there have been better races chosen for source books. But then I guess these ones work in terms of diplomacy.
Yeah.
So that's what it's for. And it adds three new specializations to if you want to be a diplomat. So the three that exist already. And then it adds advocate.
Yeah.
Analyst.
Mm-hmm.
Propagandist.
Ooh.
So they're not bad. And the idea of the diplomacy source book, Desperate Allies, is it adds rules for making rebel bases, like concrete rules for making bases.
Okay.
That you can use for example, diplomatic embassies.
Yeah.
Covert intelligence outposts.
Mm-hmm.
Secure safe houses.
Okay.
Surveillance posts.
Number stations,
etc. And it also includes items and vehicles well suited for diplomatic situations. So what do you think of this book so far?
Sounds pretty alright. Yeah, sounds alright.
Sounds alright.
Yeah.
Would you, is it not one you would invest in yourself?
Not myself, no, but Beef can.
That's why I was thinking about these source books. I'm like, that'd be a really good book for that character.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, if you're the diplomat of my group, you go and read that fucking book and I'll read it.
Yeah, exactly.
It also has guidance and rules to enhance social encounters. Okay.
Has it got My Mechanic in it?
That's exactly what I was thinking when I read it. They've been listening to Double Triumph. They've sold it, mate. Negotiation and deals to gain new soldiers and systems to the rebellion, like rules for doing that.
It's literally
it's your rules, mate. They've stolen it, I'm sorry. Also includes modular encounters. I love the modular encounters in these books.
Yeah.
They're really good. They're like
the sweet bike racing.
Yeah, exactly. One little action set piece to weave into your story. Okay. Or to run a quick session around if you've only got like short notice. Adds ideas for adventure outlines that focus on diplomacy as well. So if you've got a group which is heavy, you might have a group which is all diplomats and they just want to focus on diplomacy.
Imagine that.
Fucking hell. They would love it. If you've got that group as a GM, go and buy this fucking book.
Yeah.
Throw out the core rule book and just buy this.
Man, if you've got that as a GM, that's a heavy session of storytelling.
Yeah. Because you haven't even got like, sometimes as a GM you're like, oh, I'll throw in a battle here because that'll take up some time and then I can move the plot along.
Definitely.
But you've just got to keep thinking of plot.
Oh my god. Oh,
but then
like
you make
the
everything.
House of Commons.
You make everything feel like a big deal.
Yeah.
And it, like, you know how Interstellar?
Yeah.
Even just when they're docking that ship onto the other ship, like I said, in any other film, that would just be like, blink. But that's like a big set piece because the film is so specific.
Yeah.
You're making a big deal out of something that you would just not even think about in another film.
Yeah.
That's, if you just got diplomats, you've got to make everything feel like a big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
And like you say, these diplomatic conversations have got to be like a battle.
Yeah, yeah.
They are your fights.
I couldn't imagine a story where there's that many diplomats, but not that mechanic.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd have to make the mechanic even more extreme.
I would be interested to see what mechanics they've added and
yeah.
see how similar it is to the one you thought of.
Yeah.
Because these are like the official rules.
Yeah.
Your rules are unofficial now, mate. They got the real deal.
Yeah, I'm not canon.
Yeah. Right, fuck chance cubes, go and buy Desperate Allies.
Yeah.
That's a Sourcebook Spotlight for this week.
Can I just say...
You can.
Chance Cubes free. Sourcebook presumably costs money, right?
Yeah.
So, Chance Cubes.
Sourcebooks are
listen
around
to Chance
about
Cubes.
17, 18 quid.
So we're giving away these things for free on Chance Cubes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
We don't know if they're real. We're not reading the book and then just like reading the book out loud.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's not allowed.
Yeah, it's not allowed.
Be
shut
but
down.
Just to give you an idea of what's coming up, so that's the one that's coming out right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's not new releases, sometimes I'll dip into like an old book that's out. You know, people are always starting.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, we'll talk about ones that already exist. For example, I had a scan through, I can't remember the name of it, but the source book for Explorers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't even have any Explorers on our group.
No.
But I was still like, this is a really good book.
Yeah.
Just for the stuff it added. A really interesting like races, items and encounters and stuff that are exploration based.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll dip into old source books and talk about what's in each one, give you an idea of what you want to spend your money on.
Cool.
So that's that. That's Sourcebook Spotlight.
Cool. I've got a little, it's not a feature.
Go on then.
It's just, are you a fan of Cars?
The film?
No, just Cars in general.
No.
Do you like Cars?
I'm not a big gearhead.
Not a big gearhead, no. You like Star Wars though, presumably.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I've got something that fuses half of your interests.
Okay.
I found this toy in the shop. I had to buy it. It's the most ridiculous toy I've ever seen.
Can
we're going
to
get some pictures up on Twitter. It's yours.
Wow.
It's yours. I bought it for the table.
You know, I can put
for
that
the table.
Up with the little R2.
Yeah, exactly.
I donated the R2. You've donated this card. This is unbelievable. okay, I'm just what I'll do is I'll put a picture up. The day I put this up, episode up on Podomatic on iTunes, I'm going to post a picture of this on my Twitter.
That was one of five.
Unbelievable.
But I picked up Return of the Jedi.
This is at Bob, on Twitter I'm at Bob Shoy, at B-O-B-S-H-O-Y. What it is a little Hot Wheels car, still in packet.
Yeah.
This is so weird. It's just a car, basically. Yeah, like, it's not a hover car, it's just a Hot Wheels car, but it has the
Imperial signs
on. The Imperial logo on the side of it and on the top, and it's the Star Wars on the back. That is really tenuous licensing.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous, isn't it?
I really
love
that.
It. Look at the back.
Weird.
There's more of them.
There's more Star Wars on the pack than on the item itself.
Yeah.
If that car was just on the side, you think it was just like a Bond car or something.
Yeah. And the pack is like so Star Wars. It's Hot
wow.
Wheels.
So this is the Return of the Jedi
edition. Hot Wheels.
There's nothing that makes that Return of the Jedi.
No. It's just an Imperial.
Apart from the picture.
I don't even know what car it is. Like a. DB9
wow.
or something.
That's great. I don't think it's an official car, mate.
But look at these. The ones on the back. They're more. I think they're the same.
Oh, there it is. Ballistic is what it's called.
It's ballistic.
Oh, okay. So they've got the Rebel logo on the Spectite. Wow.
Such okay. Tenuous life.
That's fantastic. I'm going to put that on the on my Twitter. Check it out. What Tiss has donated to the table. And you know what? I'll post up our little R2 that we have on the table as well. Yeah, and if you want, again, if you want to add us on Twitter, it's at Bob Shoy, it's at B-O-B-S-H-O-Y, and...
Tiss, which is Tiss R. Wolf, at Tiss R. Wolf, I think that's what it is.
It is at Tiss R. Wolf, so it's at T-I-S-S-A-R-E-W-O-L-F.
That's the one.
Right. We'll be on there, and, you know, send us a DM, add us, follow us, just talk to us, and... what you like, what you don't like, what you want us to talk about. Fantastic. We had a couple of people talk to us, and it's been really helpful in knowing what things are good to talk about and what aren't, and what have you. Oh, I'm blown away by that car. It's really thrown me off guard.
I saw it in the shop weeks ago. That's the thing I said to remind me to bring in. I put it in the glove box,
right.
And I forgot about it last
week. Was it new, or was it in a charity shop?
No, brand new.
Where from?
Sainsbury's.
Sainsbury's?
Yeah. It was just on the side, hanging up, like on the on the edge of the aisle, and it's got the jerky is always on the little thing. Yeah, it's just on that.
Any American listeners, Sainsbury's is a supermarket, a grocery store.
It's like Walmart.
Like Walmart, yeah. It's anyone we know.
Yeah.
we have Sainsbury's and Tesco and Asda. Yeah. Asda is owned by Walmart, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. The Walmart family.
The other thing I was going to talk about. People who listen, if they're thinking about what to buy, we recently bought one of the adversary decks.
Yeah,
we tried to get all three, but only one of them was in stock, and I haven't had a chance to use them yet because I've been using very specific enemies in my game.
Yeah,
but Tiss, how have you found the adversary decks? First of all, what are the adversary decks, if people don't know, and how have you found using them?
The adversary decks are basically like a deck of cards. Each card has one adversary per card. And it's just something to pull out in the game where usually you have to look up all the stats and put it in, you know, your preparation. Now I can just, in my preparation, just have a rough idea of who I want to, what kind of stats I want, and then I can just pull it out of the adversary deck, and that's it.
You don't have to start
playing
stats for the villains.
No, that's it.
So when you get in a combat situation as a GM, instead of writing down a minute notes,
throw
you
it
just
in.
Whack out a couple of cards. So it's a really simple idea, and it's all just the enemies from the source books.
Yeah.
The core rule books.
Yeah.
But on handy card, you have to flip through the book all the time.
Yeah.
And I haven't used them, but they do look really useful.
Really useful.
And they come in three flavours.
Yeah.
What have we got?
I think, what did we get? Did we get the Age of Rebellion?
No, because they're for use of all three.
Oh, right.
That's what it's like. You can use it with... That and that.
I love it if it Force and Destiny in there.
Imperials and Rebels adversary deck.
Okay, yeah. That's why it ties in more with my stuff, but it also would tie in with you.
And the other ones are Scum and Villainy.
Yeah, that's like your one, isn't it?
And Citizens of the Galaxy.
Yeah, that's
which is sort of like a mix of both of ours. It's like everyone who isn't Scum and Villainy and Imperials and Rebels.
Basically.
But I would like to get all three decks because
Definitely. They
look really good.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't used them, like I say, I've seen you using them, and I can just imagine using them. They're really useful things to have. They also now have added a different type of deck.
Ooh.
So you had the character specialization decks,
mm-hmm.
which I've got one.
Yeah.
Claire's got one.
I haven't got one.
No one else has got one. And we barely use them. They're like, it's a cool thing to have.
Yeah.
They're kind of expensive for what they are.
Yeah.
They're just your talent tree.
Yeah.
But every talent is on a card, so you can be like, lay your cards out on the table and be like, I've got this, and this talent, and you can refer to them.
Yeah.
But we print out our talent trees and we have them to look at anyway.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
It's a cool thing to have. I bought them to make up an order to get free delivery from a website.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, postage is £6, but if you spend an extra £4, then you get it free, and they're £5, so
yeah,
might as well get it.
If you want to impress your friends.
Yeah, if you want to whack that on the table, they'll look at my soldier medic.
Yeah.
And they have one for every type of specialisation, even the ones that are added in the source books.
Yeah, yeah.
And like that propagandist one we talked about, there'll be a propagandist deck out as well. Like, crazy. They have one for everything.
Wow.
But they've added a new type of deck.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what you think to this. They've added critical injury decks.
Okay.
And critical hit decks.
Hmm. Could be so useful.
You know the critical injury chart you have on that? It's basically a card for each one of them.
And then so you'd give it to the player. What if
so they can keep you track nailed of the same one. There's probably multiples for like common one, like, because how rare is it to get like 100 and something?
Yeah.
Even though today we had 122. Ooh. That was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, Claire nailed.
But the lower level ones, they'll come up more regularly. Yeah. So there's critical injury decks. What do you think to that?
It's all right. How much? Right. £7 a pack, I'm guessing.
They're like the same price, I think. I mean,
I've not admittedly had any sort of time where I thought, I wish I had a deck for this.
Yeah. That I don't think it's necessary. I mean, if you want everything to do with this, and if you just want to give FFG your money for like constantly working on this game and constantly adding stuff, and you just want to support them in any way, and you're like, well, if I buy more stuff, it gives them more money, go for it, you got everything else. I probably won't buy one.
No.
And the critical hit deck is the same, but the crit hits for Starship Combat.
Oh, right, okay.
Which, have you ever even referred to the crit chart?
No.
I mean, if you've got the
GM screen.
The GM screen.
Yeah.
Which, if you're a GM and you don't have the GM screen, go and buy it. They're so useful.
Yeah.
When I first got mine, I never GM'd, whatever. I didn't know what I was looking at. It was too much to take in. I couldn't refer to it.
Yeah.
After a couple of weeks of using it, it is invaluable.
Mm. I'd say the adversary decks and the GM screen are a must-have.
Yeah. I would agree.
A must-have.
Without even using the adversary decks, I agree. Yeah. That combo. Yeah. I mean, me and Tiss could share a GM screen, but we got one each.
Yeah.
Cause we like the
if they did like a double GM screen, like a double deck, which they wouldn't because you wouldn't be able to look over, but if they did like adversaries on that would be worth it. But the adversary deck is
the GM method. Screen is something we definitely recommend buying. That's really, really useful.
Yeah,
and you can hide all your notes behind
it. I can't imagine not having a GM screen.
No,
it would feel well, like,
and they're not even really that expensive.
Offer of the Round Table. Yeah. I don't know who the GM is.
I think it's like, they're like £15.
Yeah.
And you get an adventure with it.
Yeah.
Which is like a bankable game.
Yeah. But the screen itself is worth...
The screen itself is worth 15.
It's weighing gold.
And you've got a bonus adventure if you want to do it. I ran the one from mine, and we had a pretty good time with that one. It was the one in the mines.
Yeah.
That was a pretty fun storyline. Tiss hasn't run the one from his, but he's got it in the bank if he wants to.
Exactly.
Talking of Tiss.
Yeah.
We just had one of your games.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
Okay, so did we talk about that last week?
You
got to the ship.
Last time we played, we didn't pod because it was running late.
Oh, we didn't, no. Okay, so you guys got to the ship of this cult. I think we spoke about it before on the pod.
The idea of the story initially is we were searching for missing persons.
Yeah.
There's been bodies turning up and missing people turning up, all with this like same symbol.
Yeah.
And we... I swear we talked about it. We went to the different bars.
Yeah,
we talked about it on the last pod. Last time we played, I was GMing.
Oh, of course.
So it's the continuation of that story.
Yeah, so you got to the ship.
Right.
And worked your way through the ship to the ritual area. On the way, destroying, you know.
Yeah, we're basically following the trail of a cult.
Yeah.
Which is taking bodies.
And then you got to this ritual area where they're having this big crazy ritual with 30 people. And you thought you were fucked. And then Hartigan... blasts in, saves you all.
And who's Hartigan?
Hartigan is a guy you've encountered before in the story.
Mm-hmm.
Can't tell you any more about it, really.
But we didn't...
You didn't know a lot about him at the time.
No.
Apart from you knew... You've had little hints where Hartigan's brother got killed in the attack on the mining colony.
Mm-hmm.
Colony. And the guy back at base has referred to him, Lagrim Mo, has mm-hmm. referred to him loads of times, or a few times, in connection to that. So
when we were going through the ship, mm-hmm. Which we traced this symbol to, the people who were laying the symbol on people, we were exploring through it and we came across a couple of guys and they had this, they were all in robes and had the symbol carved on them mm-hmm. and they had like scars on them and stuff. Then we came across a massive dude who was supposed to be a boss, but we completely fucked him up with the luckiest yeah. rolls ever.
Yeah.
Or one of our players, Claire, just basically killed him on her own.
Yeah.
She had like the most lucky rolls and then crits and then the other rolls and it was fucking crazy. Yeah. Destroyed him.
Yeah.
And then we walked into a room with 30 enemies. And we threw a couple of grenades and then Hartigan showed up. The big twist
mm-hmm.
was what?
That Hartigan is actually, well, you don't know who he is yet, but all you know that he comes out of his ship with a lightsaber and kills off the last remaining survivors of his ship blasts. And then, yeah, that's how it ended.
Bit of a cliffhanger.
So you don't know what he is.
Next week when we play, we're taking half a session each because I'm very near the end of an act of my story.
Yeah.
And you're very near the end of this act of your story.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna play for an hour and then we're gonna switch over and you'll play for about an hour and a half. And
so that is that's the end of your whole story.
No, just no, act two.
Act two.
Because you still got to go to. Do you remember he said when you finished on Chalgana and found what you can, come meet me. I'll be on Raxus Prime.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And so you've got to go to Raxus Prime, which is where you met his little Jabba friend.
Right.
Who's okay. one of your contacts now, anyway.
Right.
So you've got to get back to him. But he doesn't know all the shit that's going on with you on Chalgana. He's just like, yeah, go and explore this wreckage and meet me on Raxus.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's loads of shit going on Chalgana. Cool. But I just want to get it to the end of the Chalgana act.
Yeah.
And I can leave it with you on your way to Raxus.
That's it, yeah, yeah.
But as you can tell, everything that's going on in that story, you're pretty near the end of that act.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on in your story. I really enjoyed the session. I thought it was fun. I've enjoyed the story as a whole anyway.
Yeah.
Now, when you finish it next week,
yeah,
is that the end of this session? The end of this storyline? Or is it just like act one done? Well, act one was kind of the...
It's kind of the end of that story.
So act one was the nightclubs and the bars and finding information.
Yeah.
Act two was tracing it to the ship and exploring the ship and finding the car. Act three is Hartigan's turn up. And then that's the story. It's three acts.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. And then you'll be...
I haven't fully decided if this is going to be the, you know, sort of... Because the next session is going to be kind of going after the cult leader.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't decided what to do with that yet, or to keep it going. Yeah. End the cult. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that.
Sometimes...
I know a lot of other story bits that are definite, but as far as the cult goes, I don't know. Fully.
You can always have something. It's like if you want to have that as the underlying threat.
Yeah.
Like on the Edge of the Empire games, it started with you guys escaping.
Hmm.
And so you've always got the guy who kept you captive is always in the shadow. He turns up from time to time. He traces you from time to time.
Yeah.
You find other family members of him from time to time. And it's always lingering in the background. Yeah, and every now and then a story comes up and it's all about that and then it'll bubble away back again for a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Until eventually you end that storyline, however you choose to end it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how that story's going to end.
Mm. I'm looking forward to it though.
How that story ends.
It's building up to this and it's kind of like, yeah.
Mm.
So this week was the first flash of like what is actually going on because up until now this cult is very loose and just... I'm impersonal,
yeah,
and I'm trying to make it more personal and, yeah, bring it around.
I can't believe we've spent three sessions so far just on Chalgana in my game and have still got another session on Chalgana. I thought we'd do it in two sessions.
Yeah.
In four. we'll be off.
Yeah.
And soon we're going to have a bit of a Star Wars barbecue now the weather's been hot.
Yeah,
and we're gonna
Starbucky.
Starbucky. He's on it tonight.
These puns.
And on that, we're all gonna get together.
Yeah.
Cook some meat.
Yeah.
Except you.
Some, yeah.
Cook some vegan.
Yeah.
For you, and we'll all eat meat at the end of the room. And we're going to make, everyone's going to make, well, not me, but everyone else is going to be making their alt characters for my game.
Perfect.
Which I'm going to have more. Like, the your current characters are like on the run, odd jobs for money, smuggling where they can.
Mm.
And this new set of characters I'm going to have you are going to be more like heist characters. You get in, you get the thing, you try and sell it.
Yeah.
And you do, it's all like shady business. Mm. So I want like two different types of story that I can run into. And I might have your two characters meet up at some point and you can then choose who you want to play as.
Yeah, yeah.
But the idea is to set up this heist. And the other thing is it gives everyone a chance to be sort of like the leader. Because I feel like in my other Edge of the Empire campaign, the main character is sort of Rebecca's character, because she's only freed you guys. And she sort of has the ship and she's sort of a pilot for that.
Yeah.
And then in your stories, it's sort of like Beef and Claire.
Yeah,
sort of
yeah.
Both. He's like the diplomat, she's the commander, and they sort of joint lead that.
Yeah, and she was the commander this week as well.
Yeah, she was definitely the commander this week. That's why you gave her bonus XP. So the next game is the one where you're the leader.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to have you, you already said you're going to have a Toydarian trader character, so you're like the business part of the
group.
I'm
looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to getting to that character.
You're the one who finds the contacts, finds the gear, sells the gear,
yeah.
And you lead your team into these situations.
Yeah.
And so I really think Becca was considering being like the demolitionist.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a hired gun demolitionist, like explosives expert sort of guy.
Cool.
And then whoever else people want to be. I wrote down a couple of ideas for careers for like the whole setup, like getaway driver, thief. You can have things like that. Slicer for like hacking into stuff.
I think I'm going to write a big backstory for my dude.
I've already got ideas.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's cool.
So, but that's going to be, it's probably going to be like a month before we make the characters, and then I've got to start writing plenty of stories. Yeah. But I already sort of know-ish your character, so I can get ideas just with only knowing one character for
now.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Now, finally, wow, we've been going for an hour.
All content as well.
All content.
I'm happy to say.
All content.
So much content.
It's because we didn't want to let everyone down because it's 2 weeks off.
Yeah. There's people listening as well.
And we know
there's, people listening.
So wanted to just give a full on all content episode. No bullshit this time. We had an EOP, and that's our bullshit.
Yeah,
that's our weekly bullshit. Literally, it is me bullshitting.
Yeah.
So last time it got cut off, but I did my character for Age of Rebellion.
Yeah.
So, I'll redo that.
Cool.
If you listen to the Jibs game, no, not before the Jibs game, we had Jibs on the phone.
Yeah.
This is a much earlier podcast, must be like episode 3 or 4.
Yeah.
I actually told Jibs about my character. I was just starting to come up with the idea of it. I knew I wanted to be a doctor.
Yeah.
And I got him to name my character live on the podcast. So... his name is Dr. Sledge Thorlax, is what Jibs named him.
Yep.
He was like, Thorlax sounds a bit alien-y, and Sledge, because I told him he was like a hammerhead. I'm a Thorian, so I want the hammerhead dudes. And he was like, right, it's something related to hammers. So, Sledge Thorlax. He's not that young. The lifespan of a Thorian's up to about 85 years, and he's in his late 40s. So he's like over the hill. He's done and seen a lot. And he comes from the planet, would you say Ithor or Ithor?
Ithor.
Would you say he's an Ithorian? I always say Ithorian.
Ithorian, yeah, I would say Ithorian. Say Ithor.
I don't know. It's up to you. I don't know. I'm thinking it might be Ithorian.
Ithorian.
Because Jibs actually Ithorian, said Ithorian.
I prefer it.
For us, it's Ithorian.
Because Ithorian makes it like Ithorian, but Ithorian's like Ithorian.
You know what I'm going to say?
Yeah.
Canon for our game. I'm an Ithorian.
Yeah.
From Ithor.
Oh.
But I'm a bit of a rich dick character. But, like, a bit of a ponce, really. So I was born into a wealthy family, like, really rich parents. I had really, like, good education, really intelligent. That's why my intelligence stats are really stacked. I did really well in school. And because I'm from a rich family, I decided to just fucking travel around the galaxy and need to explore and see other planets and learn. He wanted to keep learning. But during his travels, my character's father died of sickness. And so I went back home, stayed with my mother, where I studied medicine. So I didn't study medicine in school. I didn't go on to do medicine. But when I came back home, I decided to study medicine. And eventually, she, the mother passed of old age as well, as they had been like older parents. And being an only child, I received the full inheritance. So I'm like a rich bastard. Spoiled, clever, cultured dick. Probably a nice guy, though. Just you hold it against him because he's got a big inheritance. But I became a skilled doctor, very well liked by my patients. And when Alderaan was destroyed by the Empire, I was absolutely devastated. As I was exploring, it had become one of my favourite places to visit in the galaxy because of all the arts and culture and stuff on Alderaan. That's exactly what my character's sort of into. He loved the beauty of the planet and the culture, as I've written here. So when he found out the rumours of the Empire being responsible for that, I vowed to help the rebellion in any way I could. I donated loads of my inheritance to it. I did some combat training, so that's why I got a little bit of skill in like guns and stuff. Mm. So I'm heavily stacked on like resilience and guns and all the intelligence stats. Sort of what I'm skilled in. I studied warfare in my own time as well, though hoping I wouldn't have to use it when I've already had to use it. Due to be part of a team or become part of a team, that's up to the GM. Well, I eventually got enlisted as part of this group as the medic. I'm a field medic, highly logical, trustworthy, and cultured, but also, as my character's developed, I'm a little bit of a coward and sometimes hide behind the others. And that's my character, sort of the logical, rich wanker.
Cool.
Have we ever done your character for Yorin?
Yeah, I think we have.
I was thinking that.
But I don't think we did it much in depth.
Did we do it on episode zero, the lost episode?
Oh, it might be.
That's what I think.
I think, yeah, it was very brief. It was more like a literal 2 seconds.
Well, Rebecca's already said that next time she's going to talk about her...
Yeah.
She won't talk about her Edge of the Empire character.
Yeah.
I won't tell anything about that. Next week we're going to have Rebecca talk about that on the unnamed character feature.
Yeah.
And I think we're pretty much done for this week.
That's it.
Next week we'll have more EU or PUSA. Keep up with the news. More chance cubes. Sourcebook spotlight. Unnamed character feature. Whoa! We've got content.
Content.
We've got content coming out of our fucking arse. Content dribbling down our legs, mate.
Apt. Because we have.
So we have, yeah, we've got loads of content. Back on it next week.
Yeah.
And I've got nothing else to say.
Boring conversation, isn't it?
But yeah.
Boring conversation anyway.